In what way is God like an unjust judge? Even the question seems inappropriate. God is nothing like an unjust judge, we quickly assert. What then do we make of this parable? And there are a couple of elements that discourage easy interpretation. First, the parable itself doesn't stand alone. It's bracketed by Luke's introductory note on prayer at one end, and an early interpretation of it on the other. Also, whatever the original parable's import, it's now placed in the context of the delayed parousia, Jesus' delayed return, as it is preceded by Jesus' teaching on the coming kingdom and followed by another reference to the coming of the Son of Man. Given these complicating factors, what do we say about this parable then? Well, three distinct possibilities present themselves that, while drawing on similar elements, do differ from each other. First of all, we have God the good judge. And maybe this is the easiest interpretive road to travel. And it involves correcting our faulty, shall we say, hearing of the rhetorical force of the parable's comparison of the unjust judge and God. Because the point is not that God is like an unjust judge who will eventually relent to the persistent petitions of the widow. Rather, the force of this construction mirrors that of earlier instructions about prayer. For example, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We could read today's comparison similarly. If even the most unjust of judges will finally relent to the ceaseless petitions of a defenseless widow, then how much more will God, who is, after all, a good judge, answer your prayers? The focus of this interpretation is on God's goodness and eagerness to bless. So we bring our petitions before God and pray without ceasing, confident of God's desire to respond. Another interpretation is on God the just judge. And it's related to the first, but it would be to give primary attention not only to Luke's introductory note, but also to the choice of the unjust judge as a major character. Might the parable give voice to some of the discouragement of early believers, whether caused by the delay of Jesus' return or the difficult or unjust circumstances they were enduring? If so, the parable might be saying, while I know that God may seem like an unjust judge, God's actions are just, and God will deliver justice in due time. Like the widow, we should pray and petition without ceasing and not lose heart, confident that God's justice will prevail in time. And then we have the widow as pursuer of justice. And this interpretation shifts our attention from the judge to the widow. Now, widows in the ancient world were incredibly vulnerable, regularly listed with orphans and aliens as those folks deserving special protection. You know, widows couldn't inherit their husband's estate, so it's left to heirs to take care of the widow, which sometimes is done and sometimes isn't, and hence why there would be legal avenues needed of a judge. to arbitrate. And the fact that this particular widow must beseech a judge unattended by any family highlights her extreme vulnerability. Yet she not only beseeches the judge, but also persists in her pleas for justice to the point of creating sufficient pressure to influence his actions. The focus in this reading is on the judge's description of his own motivation for settling the widow's claim. He asserts, as the narrator already had, that he neither fears God nor respects people, thereby testifying that his unsavory character has not changed during the course of the parable. When he explains why he relents, however, he utters a description of the effect of the widow's ceaseless complaints on him that most translations dilute. A more literal translation of the judge's grievance is that the woman is giving me a black eye. Like all black eyes, the one the widow's complaints threaten to inflict has a double effect, representing both physical and social distress. That is, the judge complains that the widow's relentless badgering not only causes him physical harm, but also risks publicly embarrassing him. For this reason, he says that he relents, not because he's changed his mind, but simply to shut up this dangerous widow. In this case, insolent, obnoxious, even intolerable behavior results in justice. Read this way, the parable serves to encourage those suffering injustice to continue their complaints and calls for justice, and that sometimes it takes extreme, even socially unacceptable behavior to effect change. God, the Bible has persistently insisted, gives special attention to those who are most vulnerable. Therefore, we should persist in our complaints, even to the point of embarrassing the powers that be, in order to induce change. According to an old adage, a parable has only one point. Luke proves that this approach is too restrictive. This parable can support several readings. And Luke turns this parable around and around until he spins from it a question regarding faith. The assurance that God will act to establish justice on earth and vindicate the needs of the disadvantaged is a double-edged word. To the judge, it calls for speedy action to turn from false priorities while there's still time. And to the widow, it speaks a word of hope. The time is growing short. God will not tarry. To each, the parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow calls for a reexamination of our faith. Have we turned a deaf ear to those who cry out in need? Or have we given up hope that God will hear our calls for help? Faith requires different responses from the widow and the judge. What does faith require of us? Have we faith of a mustard seed, the faith of a widow? Well, today let us have our faith renewed as we receive the bread and wine and blessing given for you. Amen.